Good evening. Praise God. It's really honor to me be again to hear. Praise God. And praise God for the Community Church International United team and being as a part of the ministry. It's really honor to me. Tonight I'm not going to share the word, but I'm going to share a little about our country and the ministry, what we are doing over there. So you can see the map. This is the map of Pakistan. And I want to give you a geographic overview, little about the country. We have four provinces. One of province which called Punjab, and it's bordering with India. Before 1947, India and Pakistan, it was one country, but in 1947 it was separated from India and became independent state. We have another province called Sindh, and it's covered with the Arabian Sea. And then we another province which called KPK, and it's bordering with the China. And there is another province, this is Balochistan. This is the place where I live, and we are bordering with the Iran, and also bordering with Afghanistan, and also with the former states of USSR like Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, like these countries. And this is the city, Quetta, Q-U-E-T-T-A, Quetta, where I live. So the Afghanistan is a just 4-hour drive from our hometown, and Iran is all about 10-hour drive, 8 to 10 hour. We are bordering, and God is using us not only for these provinces all over the country, and by the grace of God, we are able to plant 50 churches throughout the country, and started with the one, and in each of church we have about 100 to 125 people in attending the each church over there. And we have a vision, and we are already working in Afghanistan as we are bordering with Afghanistan, and also praying for the Iran, and want to enter, want to go into Afghanistan with the project to reach the people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Afghanistan is a country with the population of 99.8% people. They are Muslim people over there. And they are mostly the Taliban, other groups over there. But what we believe that Jesus died on the cross for these people. And they need the blood of Jesus. They need the salvation. And God put us on the border to go into Afghanistan. So we need your prayers, and we are working on these and going over there time to time. But we are asking to Lord to make some. I will talk later on about this. And this is another province called Northern Areas. I'm going to give you a little information about the country. I was talking today morning. The population is more than 200 million people. Language is called as Urdu. This is our national language. And 96% are Muslims. Minorities are 4%, Christians are 3%, official language is English, in Pakistan. I mean, the trade language, the paperwork which they do over there. Okay. Currency is called Pak Rupees. Our 100 rupees are equal to $1. And then total unreached groups are over there, 447. Total groups are 447. 435 are unreached, and more than 18 million people are still unreached. According to the Open Doors Watch list, the persecution in level of in Pakistan is extreme. It goes to worldwide rating on number 8. And the country is called Islamic Republic. So we need your prayers for Pakistan. And here are some of our ministry work, what we are doing. Today morning I was talking that I'm going to show some pictures that what we are doing. These are the some, although there's a lot of things, and today morning I was talking that the God is doing his work in that part. Although there are 96% are Muslims, but the gospel is increasing on regular and daily basis. Thousands and thousands people from other religions like Muslims, they are accepting Jesus on a daily basis. These are some of pictures of our crusades we are doing over there. And although this is an Islamic country, but it's open for the gospel. We can do a crusades like this in stadiums. The government provide us security, police security during the services. And today morning I was talking that recently in the month, last month, month of October, Todd Bentley was in Pakistan, Melon Hickey, and many international preachers are coming, and God is raising people, and people are accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. This is UTI conference we did last year. Some of these pictures of, and some other programs and evangelical programs, prayer meetings, open door prayer meetings. Conferences and training leadership. This is little pictures of about our children ministry. Feeding programs, helping with the people. And these are the motorcycles program. We are helping church leaders, pastors with the motorcycle. We praise God that last year we received 10 motorcycles from United Team International and Community Church, and it was really honor. And but since from now we are able to distribute about 30 motorcycles to the different church leaders. We are also helping with the churches with the generators. One of the largest problem in our country, that is electricity. Electricity shutdowns are very regular, so we help the church with these small generators to equip to in the services. Some of free medical camps. This is one of the biggest resource to reach the Muslim world with the gospel, and some relief programs on different. Here are some of our youth ministry pictures and worship team. And this is all. We need your prayers, and as I was talking, that God has given us vision to serve the Lord, not only in Pakistan, but also to our neighboring countries. We need your prayers. We need your financial support. Pastor Jack will let you know in detail that what he has plans, and we are inviting them to come and see how the God is doing his work. Thank you very much, and may God bless you all.
Wow, it's amazing how the Lord is working throughout the world. Sometimes I don't know if we can say like this, we're spoiled in a sense that we ask for churches to have our seat have to be soft. So, and there's places in the earth that the seat is just set on stone, like stone. So we have to pray every day that and thanks him because of the opportunity he gave us. The opportunity that we are here and we're praising the Lord without anyone pointing the gun at us. That's just a huge benefit that we have from the Lord. Well, it's so great to see each one of you. I can't believe it's a year now. It's just been 1 year since we saw each other. Well, we saw each other yesterday, right? Well, the Lord is doing a great and mighty work throughout the world. And we've seen what the Lord is doing in Pakistan. And God's doing an amazing work in Central America. We are opening more countries. And we believe that this year is going to be a tremendous year for you to travel as well. This 2017, it was a battle year. Who went through battle this year? It was just me? Was it just me? Yeah. Oh, you too? No, you didn't went to battle. Whoa, Canada is just Canada. Some of the trips we had planned at the beginning of the year would not fulfill because there were some changes, churches that wanted to put up the events. Then they called because they have a huge event that was happening in some of the countries, especially in Nicaragua. But we traveled. We didn't travel in a sense that it was bad that we didn't travel. It was some sort of event that had happened in Nicaragua. We had one ministry came up, and it was One Day, One Nation. How many of you heard that? No, you haven't heard it? That's what we talk about social media this morning. And we're right about it. I mean, information like this, we as Christians, we need to know it. So One Day, One Nation ministry from Dominic Russo came up, and he asked the pastors in Nicaragua to do a huge event, and where we gather more than 100,000 people in each state plaza or main plaza, and we saw the unity of the pastor. We saw the unity of the church working together. We saw the unity of the church praising God all in one place. That was awesome. I mean, it brought the attention, or it caught the attention of the president. If we are Christian, we start developing things like this. We get together and we show the government our power, that isn't a main power, it's a godly power. It will get the attention of our government. Instantly, they will try to see who managed this, who did this. How can I be part of it or control it? But when we show the world, when we show our government, when we show our nation that we are bigger than ever, they will start fearing us. They will start fearing the church. What is the Church of Christ doing? What are they doing? And then they will know that there is a God. What happened in Egypt, for example? For 400 years, the Jewish people, Israel, was slave. And the Egyptians, they lived together, but they never saw the power that they had. They never saw the power that they have until one man got up and said, you know, we will no longer be a slave. And then they saw the power of the Jewish people, of the Israel people. So we managed to do this event throughout 7 states of Nicaragua. And we got the attention of the president. And the main organizer had a meeting with the president. And he was interested of what we were doing. So we told him, we talked to him, and we showed him what we were doing. And you know what? We needed to, for some stadiums to be open, we need his permit. So he said, whatever you need. Whatever you need, you get it. 7 stadiums of the 7 biggest states of Nicaragua, they were open for us. And you will see a river of people, a river of Christians coming together to praise the Lord. There was a week before that we used social media. And that week before, it was amazing because you turn on the TV, there was somebody speaking about One Day, One Nation. You went to the news station, they were speaking about One Day, One Nation. They went through Facebook and they were speaking about all the gathering of the Christians. They went to the radio station and we were speaking about that as well. I mean, we started like bombarding people. We started bombarding the country. This is what we're doing. This is the Christian doing. And then, you know, because we got battled whenever we start doing what we are supposed to do, then the Catholic came up, oh, who are they? What are they doing that? Who's giving them the permits? But we are Christians, we need to stand together. We need to know who we are. And it was preached that whenever we go to trouble, we have to be happy because we know that the blessing is coming. Because the blessing is always bigger than the problem. And I could tell you a story from the Bible that is on Genesis chapter 41, verse 19. And it's about Joseph. And he says, then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, pardon my accent. I have a Canadian accent. I remember my faults this day when Pharaoh was angry with his servant and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. Both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream in one night. He and I, each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now, there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. He was told him, translated our dreams for us. To each man he translated according to his own dream. And it came to pass just as he translated for us, so it was happened. He restored me to my office and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him, quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothes, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I heard it says unto you, it says of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. We see the life of Joseph being right there on the ground. We see the life of Joseph being right there in slave, being in jail. Your life has been blessed. It doesn't matter what the fight you have been through. It does not matter the problems you have been through. You have to know that your blessing is bigger than your problem. Why? We have a saying in Latin America because of mango trees. We all love mangoes. And why do you stone a mango tree? Because you want to have the mango. You want to get the mangoes. If the mango tree didn't have any fruit, no one will stone it. No one will come and throw rocks at it. But they throw rocks at it because they want what you have. Ungodly people want what you have. And that's why they come against you. And that's why they come against you, because they want to see what, is it true that what he said, is it true? Is it true that, is there any truth about the Jesus he speaks about? You have to be established. In order for Joseph to be in a higher ground, he first have to be established. He first have to be passed through the process. The more fire you put into gold, the more precious of gold you're going to have. Pharaohs did not know about Joseph. He did not know about him. But there's a guy, we have to understand that if our lives speak about Jesus, there will be a time that the people that knows that we live a Christian life, they will come to us and they will say, oh, I know a guy, I know a lady who can do this and that. Same thing happened to Joseph. He didn't have to speak for himself. He didn't have to say, hey, I translated the dreams and you left me here all alone. Hey, I'm here. Pharaohs, I'm here. This is Joseph. I'm Joseph. He didn't have to scream about his name or whatever he does. He didn't have to scream about it. Somebody else is going to speak about you. There's a job you are requesting. There's a job you are asking the Lord. Somebody else is going to tell that individual that they know you and they know what you do. They will call you. Pharaoh called Joseph. And the first thing he did to Joseph is for he dressed him. The Bible says he was shaved. It's nice when you shave. Although my kids and wife don't like it, they say I have like a baby face. So, well. Then first he will shave you. He will get you a bath, take you out of the smell that we have, and they will dress us up. Throughout the process, probably we might be stinky in the process. Oh, why am I suffering this? Oh, why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? I don't know if I mentioned this before. Back in the 90s, 94, when my dad decided to come back from the state to Nicaragua, at the beginning, I didn't understand why. I mean, why are you taking us from the state where everything's good? Where McDonald's are bigger. Where the soft drink, I mean, they give you like a whole gallon of soft drinks. And then we come here to Nicaragua with the burgers. They're like little small. And the roads are like country roads. And I asked the Lord, why? I got stinky by saying, why, Lord? Why do you make this? Why did you allow it? Has my dad gone mad? But suddenly, a friend of mine came from state, an Afro-American guy. He came to me, came to Nicaragua. Well, now it's our friend, but he came to Nicaragua, and they called me, and they say, they called me. They will call you and ask for your talent. I know you do this. I know you do that. And it will be an open door. So they call me and they say, Oscar, we know you speak English. At least you know better than what I do now. And we want you to translate for him. So I accepted. And then I went to translate for this Afro-American guy. Full of the Holy Spirit. And then we became part, we became a friend. And the flow of the Holy Spirit became to move them alive. And through our translation, when we moved from all over Nicaragua. And then somebody else came as well. And I went and translated for him. And then I found out that most of the people in the United States, they don't speak the same language. The southern people speak different than the northern people. But then, you know what? I started to like that. I like it. Lord, there's a purpose in my life. This purpose in my life. Now I know why. Now I know why. Now I know why. Then the stinky part that I have when I ask the Lord, why, Lord, why? Then I was taking a shower in his power. And he cleansed me. And now I know why. Now I know why. Because if that didn't happen in my life, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here in the northern chosen land. Amen. We went shooting this afternoon, and I mean, it's supposed to be a 2-hour thing, and we only did it in 25 minutes because it was so cold. So your process establish you. Establish your position. Establish your purpose. Sometimes you just have to look behind and see, oh Lord, I see what you did in my life. Before I came here, my daughter, she asked me a question, really impacted me. She said, Dad, where will you be now if you hadn't gotten married with my mom, and you didn't have any kids, and you had the position and ministry that you have right now? It really impacted me, that question, because, you know, a 16-year-old girl asking me that, and I'm like, I'd be miserable. I'd be miserable because I wouldn't have you or your brothers, and I wouldn't have my beautiful wife. And instead of having you, a precious thing that the Lord have given me, I would have done something bad, looking for love for somebody else, with somebody, some other girls, trying to fulfill the beauty that I have right now with something else that wasn't good. And then me and my wife, we came and talked, and we said, what would have happened if you married that girl? Come on. Why do you keep on asking me that? The why. The why. So I answer her, you know what? Probably I'd be miserable. Because what I know now, the result of the process that I know now, is the most precious thing that I know and have. Because that was the Lord establishing it. The Lord had the purpose for me to be here this night. The Lord had a purpose for you to be here this night. Nothing happens randomly in the kingdom of God. Nothing happens just because. There's a purpose of you to be here tonight. There's a purpose of hearing our report from Pakistan tonight. We spoke this morning about the mountains of communication. Are we speaking the language that our kids are speaking? Are you speaking the language that our kids are understanding? They're speaking another language that we are missing. Sometimes we ask ourselves, why my kids are not understanding what I'm saying? Probably because we're saying it wrong. The Lord showed me this a couple of months ago, and I started understanding how to approach my daughter in a sense that she understand and hear me. Oh my God, I didn't know what I was going into. there's a huge world in a 16-year-old kid. But then, you know, we opened that communication, and suddenly she was sharing something with me, something that she never shared with me before. And then I explained to her why things happen in my life, and then she began to understand. And it's amazing how she's capturing things on a way that she had never captured before. There's a process in the business life, especially when you are a salesperson. The first thing they ask you is you have to understand your client. And how are you going to understand your client? By hearing your client. Hear the client. Once you hear the client, everything's going to be so easy because you know now what product to come and sell them. By hearing your client, the door will be open for you. And then you will have recurrent sales. In spiritual life, we have to hear people. What are their needs? They are screaming without saying a word. They're asking for things without opening their mouth. God has given us a spiritual ear to hear. Hear what is happening. What is happening around the world? What is happening? What is happening in Pakistan? What is happening in India? What is happening in Panama? What is happening in our city, in our church? One, we understand that. Everything's going to grow. You know what is happening now in churches? People come with an apple. They say, let's use an apple because I was teasing Pastor Jay with an apple. People come with a desire. Let's say you come with an apple. People come with an apple, something they want to share, something they want to do, something they think is their purpose, something, their ability, their gift. It comes to you. Pastor, brother, sister, look here. This is my dream. Look here. Look, what do I do? And what we're doing now, we're getting that apple and we're squashing it. Our daughters, our son, that. And we go, no. We're squishing their purpose, their desire. And if we destroy their desire, it will be hard for them to come back to us. It's going to be hard. Church, we need to open our ears and start hearing what the world is saying, what people is saying, the suffering of people is saying. I like what our brother from Pakistan was saying. The Muslim, they are desiring, looking for the gift of the Lord for healing. They're looking for healing. They know that their God, their Muslim God, is not going to do it. But they know Jesus will do it. I like that. Start hearing what the people are saying, their needs, their spiritual needs. I was going to some difficult time in my job. The devil, he desires what you have. The devil's trying to rob what you have, steal what you have, kill what you have. So I became, you know what? Things are not going well. What is happening? Somebody's standing there trying to take my position, trying to take my job. What is happening? So I started praying. You know what? I'm going to go to the office, and I'm going there and pray. Lord, you have positioned me here. No one is taking me out because this is a gift from you and I am keeping it. But you have to stand in the ground and say, Lord, this is where you want me to be. This is my purpose. This is my dream. The devil is not taking it from me. Revive the hope, people. Revive the hope. Revive the hope. in your life. Last time I was here, I was preaching about Lazarus. Imagine hope. Lazarus was dead. Hope was dead. Oh yeah, Mary and Martha, when the Lord told them, don't you know he's going to be alive? He's going to come from death? Oh yes, Lord, we know. We know when you come again, he will rise up from the dead and we all will be in heaven. Martha, Maria, do you know he can come alive? He will come from the dead? Oh no, Lord. Basically what Martha and Maria were saying, oh yes, yes, hope is dead. Then the Lord came and he said, Lazarus, come out. Hope, come out. Hope, back, come back again. But the one thing that really impacted me is when Lazarus came out of the tomb, he still had the ropes on him. When Jesus Christ came alive from the dead, the Bible said he got a new dress. What happened with Lazarus? Why he still have the ropes on him? The first thing Jesus said, get the dead ropes out of him. He needs you. He wanted the people that was around them to take the ropes, the dead ropes, out of the individual. He could have done it. Completely he could have done it. Lazarus could have come with another dress. Why beautiful dress? Gray, beautiful suit. But he wanted you and me to take the hurt and help him. Take the stripes out. Take the clothes out. Take the stinky clothes from him. That is our position, church. There are hopeless people out there in the world. We need to show them. We need to help them to come alive again by an example. By a life that shows the love of Christ. Let's stand up this afternoon or this night. Will you rise in your? I told you my accent is very funny now. Kind of a Canadian accent. There is individuals in our family that need hope. That they need for you and I to come and take the ropes, take their dress out, their stinky dress out. But they will come, hope will rise again by example, by our example. By the way you show love. By the way they can see Christ through us. There are so many kids, there are so many child that have run away from home because of the way we act. There's a responsibility, church, in our life. Responsibility to take care of those people. Let's close our eyes. Father, we come to you right now, Lord, asking for first your mercy. And ask you, Lord, for hope to be renewed in our life. Father, there is our part in our life. There are things in our life that need to be shaken out, that need to be taken out from our life, so we can represent you, Lord, in a better way. So we can represent you in a way that those kids, those people that see us, they see love. They see your love. They see you, Lord. Oh, God. Just right there where you are, you know that individual that needs your help. Let's just open our mouth and start praying for that individual. Don't be scared. Don't be ashamed. I mean, just right now, mention their name and start fighting for their life and start declaring that hope is back again in them. This is something that the church is ought to do. This is something that we have to do. Fight for those individuals. Fight for their soul because their soul belongs to Christ.
Father, we thank you for calling us in this generation that we are the vessels you desire to work through to change the world. I pray, Spirit of God, that you stir our hearts, that we will see what you want us to see. Give us spiritual ears to hear the voice of God instructing us what we should be involved into and do what you want us to do. I pray that you give us spiritual minds that will perceive the will of God, that will be involved in harvesting souls. I pray that you wake us up, O God, that will be involved into what you are doing. In Jesus' name. In
Jesus' name. Thank you, Stephen. All right, we're going to take a period of time. It'll be about 40 minutes, and we are going right into our ordination service at 7 o'clock, doing different things. We have, 58 certificates, 56 of those that have wanted to be recognized as an ordained minister or their ordained ministers in the house. Then it's licensed ministers. Then it's ministers of music. We're wanting to begin to recognize the body of Christ like God really recognizes the body of Christ, the gifts, the callings in your lives. So that's what we're up to. And we're going to take about 1.5 hour. And then Rick Pino is going to come on, lead us into praise and worship. We're going to have a blast for the blast sake. And so let's just take about 40 minutes, and we'll be back on stage, all right? God bless you.